And so when we were in Iceland, all of this took place, and there was an immediate COVID cryptic channel. COVID cryptic channel. Thank you. And the cryptic channel, meaning that Kryon often speaks in metaphors. Sometimes he will tell you that things are coming that you'll find out about later, and then you do. This one was a little more cryptic than normal. He didn't go any further, except that he said, if you want to go back and look at the history of the virus right from Wuhan, follow the virus. He says, viruses are not political. See where it went first, and that's going to give you a hint. Now, I'm not going to go any further than that, but it's so interesting that it may tell a story. And then it was, I think, 2 months ago that I was listening in on a news conference with Trump. And he actually indicated something very similar to that. Sometimes he just lets stuff out. And sometimes it's accurate, and sometimes it's just him just wishing. But this one, he said, you're going to find out something you're not going to like. And then he shut up. It's not the time, he said. But he said, when this is over, he said, you'll know. And that was as close as we got to anything that is being hidden about the origin. And I'm thinking they're waiting completely until this is, we can work it, until it's gone, we have the vaccine and all that, for them to say, okay, now it's time for you to know a little bit about why this planet has suffered. And it's going to be something that is not natural. Now, COVID is not man-made, but Kryon said it was inappropriately released. We'll see if that's true. So this is, remember, this is channeling. This is not anything but channeling. So if you're listening to this later and you're not in this room, I will say just bide your time and see. So many times Kryon has made these kinds of hints only for them to be completely and totally true and accurate. The one that was the most obviously that way was when they were when the North Korean leader was threatening to throw missiles at us and he was testing. Kryon said, wait, he's got another agenda. And then within a couple of months, there was the handshake with Trump. Then we started to realize that something was up. The kid wanted something else. And he wanted to, you realize that that there was another agenda. Well, the agenda was revealed with him months ago, if not years ago, when Kryon talked to him about him 7 times in channel, saying the kid's not stupid. He wants to be just like his dad, except that he wants the world at his feet. And how do you do that? And that is if you become the world's leader in peace. He'd be the guy who would end the Korean War, unify South and North Korea, you know, on and on. He has the power to do that. And what would happen if he did? He'd get standing ovation at the UN. He'd be on Time Magazine's cover. Are you getting me? That's where he wants to be. And you watch his actions, and right now they're not very, very, you know, benevolent. He is impatient. And he also, Kryon says, there's something else that he does, and that is, Kryon says, when he meets with Trump, in the back of his mind, and Kryon has revealed this, he says, he's meeting with Trump, looking him in the eye, and says, you're not going to last, but I am. You're going to be gone, and I'm still going to be the leader of my country. And so I got time. So that is his consciousness. And that's what we got with that handshake. We got to see the beginning of that. So there are all manner of things that Kryon reveals are in the field, he calls it, that sound outlandish, and then you'll have it. It was in Texas when he revealed that we were going to get a new pope soon. Everybody expected the pope to die. 13 months later, we got a new pope, and the other one did not die. So there's these kinds of things. Kryon is not a fortune teller. He just reveals what's in the field. All right. We've asked you to have a couple of questions out there, and the bowl was filled with some questions, and I'm going to ask Monica to pull them out. This is my beautiful young assistant, Monica. I'd like to introduce her to you. This is it.
So, Lee, the first question, you said there was more information on the nodes and nulls. What is it?
Okay. There's a lot more information on the nodes and the nulls that we could possibly give you in that small period of time. I'll start. If you would you also? Mm-hmm. This really is her specialty. One of the things that was so amazing is that all of this nodes and nulls information was given to us almost all at once. And I think it's over a table after dinner. It was amazing. And in that, there were so many things that were hiding. We just got locations. And we didn't even know where, you know, some of them were. We had to look them up as far as, you know, what countries they might be in. And in that, we found that in research, after we got the matching up and everything else, the question was asked, and Monica actually voiced it, I wonder if these areas are sacred to the people in those areas, because we had never heard of a lot of them.
And in fact, they are. When you start researching, what was the connection with the indigenous or others in those areas? Everyone almost has a story to tell about the sacredness of that place to people. Just off the top of my head from the list, one of those places was Mount Kailash, which is in Tibet. And Mount Kailash was connected with Lake Titicaca in Bolivia. So Mount Kailash is a place where pilgrims go. The mountain is incredibly sacred, and there's many pilgrims that go there. Now, this is extra information that relates to another prophecy, which is the Kundalini of the Earth and the ancient prophecies of the movement of the feathered serpent. And Kreon began talking about the movement of the Kundalini. And there's a channel that referenced a wisdom node, and that the wisdom node would shift from the northern hemisphere to the southern hemisphere. And in that metaphor is this connection between Mount Kailash and Lake Titicaca. So Mount Kailash is also within that region that has one of the first organized religions on the planet, which is Hinduism and Buddhism. And if you look at the wisdom node that comes from there and the culture of Buddhism and Hinduism that's on the planet, all of their teachings is about oneness. And yet, when you look at the structure, a lot of it is with males. And so this shift in the, because you have a lot of, you know, the monks and everything, it's more the men. You do have the female monks or nuns, but it's predominantly male-focused. And so the wisdom shifting to South America, to me, it's almost like passing the baton to the original source of females holding the wisdom for the planet. And the metaphors of the northern hemisphere represents the logic, the intellect, the mental. The southern hemisphere represents emotions, the feminine. So you have the balance between the two is what we're now seeing on the planet. And so the nodes and nulls are also about creating balance of the genders on the planet. We haven't had that. You want to add some more?
Only that if you want to then, and this doesn't exactly answer the nodes and nulls, but if you want to then extend that to the Mayan prophecy, which most people don't really understand it at all, because we got all this heavy information about 2012, two movies on it, lots of stuff on History Channel and all. They'd never covered the truth. In fact, I had two people who were experts on it, one Greg Braden, who went for interviews with the Discovery Channel and even said, look, I'm going to be on TV tomorrow night, take a look. And he wasn't, because everything he said was true and was represented the actual Mayan prophecy. They didn't use any of it because it's good news. They were after the disaster stuff. They were after the world is ending after 2012, and they were invested in that, just like the news is today. So the good news and the actual prophecy is that that calendar, that 5,125-year calendar, had to stop. It's a precession of the equinoxes. That's that middle section of the wobble of the earth, very significant time. And it had to stop because one of two things was going to happen in that area. Either we're going to have a world war and we're going to destroy ourselves. By the way, that's what our scripture says. I don't know when you were born, but that's what it said. Remember, we're going to have the rapture. We're going to have the Armageddon. That's the prophecy. You're sitting in a time which was never prophesied. Are you aware of that? So we weren't going to make it. But that was the time, and the Mayan calendar said if we did make it, another calendar would be put up. They have calendars in calendar language out to the year 4000. They do have another calendar that was not ever presented by any of the stations, and we know this because we've talked to the Maya and we know in the history. And their prophecy said that if you make it, it would be the beginning of the highest consciousness humanity had ever seen. Did you notice that in the Hopi prophecy rock? It's the same message. So the indigenous have given us prophecies about this shift long before we ever really figured it out. So all of this fuss, they say, about 2012 that we're making is my opinion, is validated. Because it's not just some new age concept. It is validated by the indigenous around the planet. And it ties into the nodes and the nulls in the fact that what Monica was just saying is about balance. It's about balance of northern, southern hemisphere. Let me tell you another definition of north and south hemispheres, which are common in metaphysics. The northern hemisphere is the male war hemisphere. And the southern hemisphere is called the feminine love hemisphere. She got the one word, but that's... And imagine that coming together in a way that was balanced. So we had different consciousness happening for both genders. So now you have the gender thing, is it's the balance of the genders. That has to occur. That for one reason, it has to occur for women to start taking a stronger role in the leadership that is spiritual everywhere. This is a common theme of Kryon. He says, you got it wrong. You got men as priests. How do you like it so far? And he's actually said that in channel. How do you like it so far? It doesn't work. It never was supposed to work. And so when you start realizing that mom should be the one you go to for spiritual help, because mom has got the equipment and the tools and the intuition, the same thing she'd use for her children intuitively, you'd have in a spiritual leader. You know, I'm a guy, and when I'm in trouble, I want mom. I don't want dad, you know? And this is I know it's pedantic, but this is kind of the principle of this whole thing. And so this is something we're going to start seeing change as well, very slowly. This is why we get excited about unity when we're here, because that was Myrtle's premise all along, is that start a church or an organization or something where the ministers and pastors could rightfully be women. And back then, wow, that was really a pushback. Now you're seeing it a lot more. And even churches that are not unity are starting to say, okay, it makes sense, we'll ordain a woman. So.
And the last thing extra about nodes and nulls, what I feel is important, and we couldn't cover in our limited time this morning, back to the story of the DNA changing 200,000 years ago. We went from 24 pairs of chromosome to 23. This is the fusion, the ancient fusion in chromosome 2 that is evident, which created 23 pairs of chromosome. Now, we've always thought, well, we only have 23 pairs of chromosomes. Recently, though, since 2012, Kryon revealed that in actual fact, we have 24 pairs of chromosomes, and the 24th pair is multidimensional, not visible by a microscope. What has that 24th pair been doing? Kryon says pretty much nothing until now. What is the reason it would be doing something now? The reason is that the 12 nodes and 12 nulls are working together in a push-pull energy to deliver information to the grids that communicate with us via that 24th chromosome pair. What does that mean? If you allow it, that's the other thing. If you allow it as a human, what does that mean if you allow it? we're still learning about the nodes and nulls. We don't have all the answers, but crying gives hints about the future of how it affects us. And one of the things with a 24th multi-dimensional chromosome pair being, I don't even like to use the word activated, but let's just say it's being stimulated to do what it was always meant to do. Cryon describes the connection that you have with identical twins. Now, there are twins here in the room, and the common attribute of twins is that they know instantly when the other is in trouble. There is a communication that has nothing to do with distance, and Cryon describes it as entanglement.
And what do they have in common? They have identical DNA.
Yes.
And yeah. So this is the connection that she's getting at, too, is the fact that all of this is DNA-based. And so here come the chromosomes and the pairs and all of that, showing that this kind of communication can happen, and we've seen it happen. Mm-hmm. And this is part of what number 24 is about.
And when you think about the masters on the planet and their embodiment of truly cognizing and understanding oneness, that's a hint to what that 24th pair in your body creates. And when everyone feels that, we will be walking in a soup of oneness. And that is peace on earth. That is the starting point. That's not the destination. Cryon says it's a given that you're going to have peace on earth. It's the baseline starting point, because that's when creation.
This is what Cryon said, and I know we're off track already here, and that question hasn't been asked, but when Cryon was asked repeatedly, he said, there's a whole lot more physics coming at you soon. Physics that you don't expect, but you know is there. It has to be there. And when are those inventions? What are we going to get of those inventions that is going to give us all these things that we need for resources and all? And Cryon says they'll be given to the earth when you don't weaponize it. And in order for that to happen, there has to be a peace on earth, a real peace. And at that point in time, Cryon says there's going to be an explosion of invention.
Has Cryon ever addressed divorce? And if so, what's the response?
You're asking me that question?
I'm just reading the question from the ball. This was not written by me, by the way.
Okay.
I did not write that question.
Did not write that question. Cryon has never even spoken the word divorce. But instead, by the way, that's our word. Instead, he has addressed relationships. Very, very succinctly, strongly, even recently, I think, on one of the channels we had. And it goes like this. He said that, do not be unequally yoked. You may start together in a relationship that you think is going to work forever. And you will make all the vows and all the stuff and all the legal stuff and all the religious stuff and all that. You come to a point where perhaps one of you awakens to their spirituality and the other one does not. Now you have issues. And the issues are consciousness issues, where one really thinks very differently than the other one. It doesn't make either one of them a bad person. It's just that you have now an impasse. Question, what do I do? Do I stay with a person forever? And Cryon said, do not let anyone step on your joy. Do not let anyone step on your spirituality. Do not let anyone step on your magnificence, even if they're your partner. Even if they're your brother or your sister or your mom or your dad. And that is why I'm sitting in a room with a bunch of black sheep, who some of you have left the family, and the only time you see them is at Christmas, and you just hope they don't ask you, you know, what ET you've seen lately. And that's where we sit today, and that has been addressed by Cryon. So in a way, you might say, yes, it has been. And the instructions would not sit well with many who believe that once you make that vow, it's forever, even if you're both miserable and you make your kids miserable too. And that simply doesn't make sense. That's a dysfunction. And so Cryon has just said, do not be unequally yoked in consciousness.
Are the Pleiadians the only star beings who influence us?
No, and we have a whole presentation on that. That's interesting. We have found out, and this was a surprise to me. First of all, let me set the stage. I'm an engineer. And when Cryon first talked about we came from the stars, and here come the Pleiadian idea, this was not in the beginning of my channeling. I started channeling benevolent, loving energy with messages of magnificence and all these things. That never changed. When I sit in a chair like this one and I channel Cryon, that energy and feeling has never changed. And that's what brought me to this chair over and over and over. It's not fake. It doesn't change. You know, nobody can simulate that. And here it is. But then when Cryon started talking about the Pleiadians, not in channel, but to me, part of my decision was, I don't think so. Because now we're dealing with the ETs, and everything in the New Age that I didn't like was ET stuff. I said, you know, what is the ET stuff got to do with my relationship to spirit? You know, like this, why is that all mixed into the New Age? No, I know. We actually all, according to Cryon, carry inside our DNA star stuff. We are not from here. This is what Greg Braden says as well. He says, you didn't come from anything here. And this is now what we're starting to see in the evolutionary studies of a human being. We got 23. Nothing below us has 23 chromosomes. So something happened that took 24 to 23, and it happened in a certain spot that everybody's seeing 200,000 years ago, and they're starting to speculate, what could it be? Is it random? Is it not random? So that's where we sit today. Then we find out, and this, I think the first time we got a hint of it was in Egypt, when we were there and they started talking about the Hathor. And Cryon started talking about the Hathor. And he says, well, these are the cousins of the Pleiadians, and they were here too. And if you find out, tell a little bit about the Hathor so they get the idea of the feminine and the...
Hathor is the... almost, I guess, the first goddess. She's the goddess of love and beauty. She's often depicted as the mother cow with horns and fertility. And many other goddesses have been derived from Hathor. So you have Sekhmet, Isis, all the others. So Hathor holds a place within the Egypt culture. And when we were there, we actually discovered a very small room within the Karnak temple complex that houses a statue of Sekhmet in black granite, and it's completely dark. And 10 by 10, our group would go in to be with this statue.
Before you tell about the statue, I want to tell about the room.
Okay.
The room existed before Karnak. The room was part of a small structure, and when they built Karnak, they went around it. They did not destroy it because they were afraid of the energy in the room.
And 10 by 10, we're in there, and those who are sensitive to energy didn't want to leave when, okay, you have to leave now, the next group's coming in. And it's almost like you have to be physically torn away from that room because there is an energy within there. It was then identified by Cryon in later channels that you got to meet a Hathor in that room. If you understand that consciousness is energy and you can imbue consciousness into objects, and that if you... The Pleiadians, by the way, are still here. They didn't leave. So they're able to imbue consciousness in a non-corporeal form. And that's when we had Cryon say it was Hathor that you were greeting and that they were brothers or sisters or cousins of the Pleiadians. So they are definitely influencing us.
Here is a time, and I know this has been recorded, before I can tell a personal story, because this is what we do here in the Q&A, is that we're not teaching as much as we're just having a conversation about answers. And we've been to Egypt now a couple of times, and that's on the agenda. It's always on the agenda. I want people to feel that. And so I had no idea when I first went in, what was going to happen. The guide said nothing at all. We had one gal who was the leader of the tour group and part of the agency who was kind of with us and was also very metaphysically minded and had led tours many times and our friends, and so she was there. I went into this little dark room expecting to see just more antiquity, because there's antiquity everywhere in Egypt. I mean, how can you get tired of 5,000-year-old spectacular antiquity? And I'll tell you, after so many temples, you can feel like, So it happened. So I was of that mind. Here we are, you know, and wow. And we're going into the room, and I looked at this statue of Sekhmet. It's dimly lit in there, but there was a window. And I saw the arm move. So I said, no, I didn't. This is because of the dim light. And so I did what, you know, you shake your head and you close your eyes and you open eyes and goes, and moves again. So I said, okay, it's my position. So everybody else is coming and going. I'm one of the last ones in there. So I move around to the left and look at it again. I do the thing. I look over here. I look over there. I look at it. It goes, moves. And so I was a bit freaked because I don't see this stuff. I'm the channeler, but I don't see this stuff. And quite often I have made fun. I'm not made fun, but I'm just like, you know, of those who see everything move and see all the colors around it, everything. And now I don't because I got to see her move. But I came out of there probably pretty wide-eyed. And the tour gal that I just told you about, I forget what his name. Anyway, she looks at me and smiles. And she said, moved for you, didn't she? And I said, how would you know that? She says, it does every time I'm here too. Then we talked to Marilyn, who was like a little white. And she said, I saw it too. We are shut up. We're not telling people this stuff. But then, oh, of course, I guess we are now. But we'll take that out of the recording, okay? So people don't.
You can leave it in.
Do you think anybody might think I was weird? Oh, sorry.
Just weird enough, yeah. I think. And yes, we're still influenced by more than just Hathors and Pleiadians. We have the star grandmothers, the Syrians. There's also the Dogon tribe who are in Africa, and they actually report that they are connected with those from the Sirius star system, and they know astronomical information that is astonishing for any indigenous tribe to know that don't have telescopes and things like that. So all of their information has been verified by science as being completely true and accurate. And in terms of us being influenced, my brain is taking in all the information from Kryon, how we are biased in linearity. And so we want to label Pleiadian over here, Syrian over here, and our DNA contains the spark of divinity. What does that even mean? It means that every galactic ancestor is held within that DNA. It's not isolated, so it's a soup of benevolent ancestors. Do you have anything to comment? Yeah,
well, it should be just like our DNA, what inheritance is. It's not just our mom. It's our mom's mom and dad and mom. And so your lineage goes back as far as you can trace it, and you know your DNA is filled with that. It's very similar to that.
Okay, so Kryon talked about a division in consciousness. What can you tell us about that?
I'll be very brief because I don't want to extend all of these things. I want to get more questions, but that's an advanced question, and Kryon has only talked about it two or three times, and somebody got that. As we become more, I would say, mature with a higher consciousness thinking, we don't react the same to anger and drama and all that. I will tell you, we are going to look very different to those who perhaps are not old souls and are just coming to the planet and have not been through lifetime after lifetime and don't have the maturity yet. Be aware, we are not special. We are not special people because we're old souls. What we are is more wise people simply because we've been through school. So if you go to any school and you take a look at the students, even if they're all adults, the ones who've gone through the school have more of an education of what is there than the ones just coming in. They're not better people, they're just more educated. Old souls are more educated in wisdom. Been here, done that. Have you ever met a newbie? They have no concept. You say A, they say B. They fly off and do crazy stuff, and you say, why would you go there? That didn't make sense. Your sense comes from been there, done that. And I think almost everyone here, sitting here, would then interiorly, you'd recognize and cognize that this is not your first time around. I don't think you'd be sitting here if it was. And so there are, Kryon says, the division between an old and a new consciousness is going to start showing more. People of higher consciousness, been there, done that, not worried about diseases, won't catch them. Hypochondriacs in fear will. And so suddenly you'll have a whole group of people who are living a lot longer than other groups of people. And the only thing they're going to have in common is belief. How do you think that's going to look? Are you aware, and there are some people from Unity here, that in some circles, this campus is seen as a cult? How is that even possible? All that is here is benevolent and kind and beautiful. That's all really that is here. That is the core that is here. And to cast your eyes on that and say you're a cult shows exactly what I'm talking about.
Do you see your team adding more channelers?
I don't really see it. I don't see ourselves as a team. I see ourselves as a family. The channelers that have come into this family have come in through synchronicity. I never sat down and said, let's get another channeler. But I teach that we should always have multiple channelings going on so that people will not get attached to Kryon. And here's what I mean. It's the way that we think, and the, I would say, the old system has you going to one denomination, which makes all the others wrong. You're aware of that. So you're brought up in a denomination. You look at the other denomination. You say, well, they're wrong. They're going to hell. We're the only ones that are going to make it. And this is so common. It's exclusionary spirit. And this is what we've done and done and done. I don't want that to happen in channeling. I don't want people to say, well, I'm a Kryon fan, so I'm not going to listen to Jeff Hoppe, or I'm not going to listen to the Marilyn Hobo. All of us are channeling a basic truth, and I'm not afraid to put other channelers on my stage. And this is why. Are we going to add others? If others come along synchronistically, that's what we'll have. And so, yeah and no. I trust in the synchronicity of events. And we create our own reality, and I believe that. So in this changing world, and in my work that is always changing, I accept whatever is going to happen. I can see right away whether it's benevolent or it's fake. That is not hard.
How does Kryon talk to Lee? And can he talk to anyone else?
Kryon, I would like to say, let's identify Kryon. Let's say that Kryon is an angel. Funny name for an angel. And, of course, it's a masculine energy because I'm a man. That's the only reason it's a masculine energy. There's no gender on the other side of the veil. So wouldn't it seem odd if I started channeling and going, greetings, dear ones, I'm Sally. And everybody would laugh and guffaw, and here's a guy, you know. So. Now, that's not uncommon. We do have men channeling female entities and angels and all. But Kryon came in as a strong masculine energy, moving the magnetic grid and all, because that's what we wanted, and that is our perception. What was the question?
How does Kryon talk?
I know. Because I didn't really want to answer it. Yeah. The truth of the matter is that Kryon, in this genderless form, to me, is an angelic mother energy. This is how I see Kryon. And the talking occurs to me only in one place. There's a premise that says that if you're a healer, you won't be healing yourself. Have you heard this? This is tough. It really is tough for a healer to heal himself. So do I get channeled to? I get intuition and yeses and nos and winks and information from Kryon in the shower. So if I'm in trouble, I get real clean. But I will tell you that the instructions have come publicly in channel as though I were not even here. So this is how it's been. So when Kryon talks to me about direction, doesn't talk to me. He talks to everybody, and I'm just listening. And I better behave. And that's happened now. The last time it happened was actually in channel, when Kryon said, "Are you ready to move to the next level, Lee? You're playing church." That was years ago. I don't remember how many years ago. And this I said later, I didn't understand what that meant. And I said, "How can that be? I mean, I'm doing everything I should be and everything." And Kryon says, "You're playing church." And I said, "What does this mean?" And in the shower, I got the full answer to that. And in the shower, he said, "You're sitting down and I appear. You stand up and I disappear. I should be there 24/7. Then I got it. He's right. I was playing church. And so this is something that is a meld with your higher self, with your soul, and all. And Kryon says, what you will have there in that meld is the invitation for every single human on the planet to find that which is their higher self and walk with it 24/7, because everybody's playing church.
I'm very interested in the new technologies that Kryon speaks of, and understand that a profound change they will make on this planet. Do you have any new insights at this time? If I invest heavily in magnetics, could I be charged with insider trading?
I can tell you about the first part. The second part is, no, invest away if you want to. The future of this planet will be in magnetics. Don't invest yet, because we don't really, it's not settled where that's going to be or the companies that are going to be. If you want to see something remarkable, go to my site, kryon.com/uplift. And there is a program about new technology there. It's already here. It's already happening. kryon.com/uplift. I talked to a man who is part of a company that is setting up the new inventions, and they're flying at him faster than he can even record them, and they're all Kryon-esque. Kryon said years ago, can I just tell you, I don't want to get too technical, I'm a nerd, but are you aware, have you ever played with magnets? Okay. Did you know that they make magnets that are really strong, and they're about that big, they're super magnets, and if you get them too close together, you don't move your hand, it'll squash your thumb. I mean, these things fly together, and if you want to take them apart, you got to have somebody else help you. That is how strong these magnets are, that are just static magnets that you can buy on the internet. Now, has it occurred to anyone that there's power there? You've got something that will push and pull. If it's arranged correctly, it'll push and pull against one magnet here, one magnet there, or whatever, and it'll do it forever. If you have a clever machine, it will spin a wheel forever. Are you following me? Now, that is magnetics at its very best. We have chosen, instead of using something free and something that has been there for thousands of years that we play with as kids, we have chosen, instead, nuclear power, raping the land, fossil fuels, all of this stuff. That is so counterintuitive to intelligence. And yet, Kryon says, this is because nobody figured it out. It's just been there all the time. Now they have. And it's so interesting that it's happened after 2012. There are now some magnetic engines being developed that are hybrids along with others, that you get the others to start it and it goes forever. Kryon talked about that principle. When it occurs, when you see it, will be the future of power generation at a house-to-house level. Everybody will have one, or a neighborhood will have one. There goes the grid. No more grid. Now, you might say, oh boy, if that occurs, that the electric company is going to squash that. They don't want that. Yes, they do. We are running out of electricity. The grids are failing all over the states. In California, we still have brownouts, you know, when it's too hot. So the electric company would love to have this and sell them. There's money to be made for them to sell that. Now, that is a paradigm you don't expect, because we grew up in an area that said everybody is so money hungry that when a new invention comes along that would wipe out somebody else, they're going to buy it and shove it away, or they're going to kill you. You know, this is how we grew up. This is what we were told. We got movies after movies after movies. Get ready for a new paradigm. And that is, these inventions are going to be snapped up by the very ones you think don't want them, because they'll figure out how to work with them, and part of it will be the ability to sell one to every single house. So it doesn't even compare to solar power. We're talking about something that'll power your home, no matter how much electricity you use, no matter, you know, all of that, and it's small. And it's sitting there because it pumps away for free using magnetic power, pushing and pulling and pushing and pulling and pushing. That'll go for thousands of years and never diminish. The only thing that'll wear out is the hub or the bearings in the wheel. Then, how about this? Imagine miniaturizing that. Do you think we're pretty good at miniaturization? We really are. We've got that covered. We are so good at this. Putting something in a smartphone like the, you know, what used to be like acres of computers. We got it in our smartphone. Imagine that. This size, the size of a little battery, and all it does is twirl and make electricity. No more charging anything. There will be always be reception. There will always be a phone that works. Imagine giving that to a poor country where they always have electricity. They're not on a grid. They'll always have the internet. Do you see any kind of revolution coming there? And that will go and extend right into their education, their knowledge, their health, everything, medicine, food. It's coming. So that's just one of many things that I see is here, absolutely here. The seeds of it are now. Go watch that program. If you watch it, you want to know what's happened next. And Colin, the guy in the program, told me, he says that because of COVID, the factories are not working right now. So it's all been shut just because of COVID. When this is released, then people are back to work. This is going to start rolling again. But it's here. I didn't know how much was there until I interviewed him. So it's a good interview to see. People have seen that interviewed, seen what he's doing, the various buildings in New York that are already using it and are still calling it a scam. Because they can't believe it. You just can't believe it. If that were true, we would have discovered it 1,000 years ago. Boy, that tells something about old energy, doesn't it? Do you know what a nuclear reactor is? It's the most expensive steam engine in the world. The most dangerous and expensive steam engine. A nuclear reactor makes steam. I don't know if you knew that. That's all it does. And we've chosen to make steam in that way that, you know, could ruin the planet. I mean, what we saw in Japan and all that, we think it's safe, isn't safe. Not really. With one earthquake, can spread it around the world. You like this stuff? Interesting. Yeah? We'll have this. What's going to be the last one?
Okay. So, dear Cryon, in the Keys of Enoch, this part of the country is referred to as the New Jerusalem and the heart of the dove. Charles Fillmore was guided to start unity here. The RLDS believe this is where Jesus will return. I doubt these are coincidences. Can you speak to the significance of this area and the energy here? And for those not in the room listening, this area is referring to the Unity Village in Kansas City.
I doubt that Charles shows it, first of all. I think that, you know, history is whitewashed in a lot of areas, and just based upon what Cryon is yelling at me now and what Myrtle is talking to me, I said, you know, it was a real stretch for Charles to do a lot of things. But he, you know, he's the one who put the phone systems in, all this stuff. So he was very on board with her. But I don't think that he chose the area. This area is more than special. It's been grandfathered as almost as a portal. So close to one of the nodes, it's not a mystery. There are things here that people I don't think have discovered yet. I think I would love to know what the indigenous thought of this area. That's the first place I'd go to answer that question, which I can't answer past the fact that Cryon is saying yes, yes, and yes. This would not have stayed here if it were not ordained to stay here. This would have been wiped out a long time ago by people who didn't want women in important roles. Do you understand that? that this is what happened here. And so everything that you see here, especially that which is what we call silent unity, which is so benevolent and kind and beautiful, has survived very low energy, a very, very low energy for a long time, 100 years or more, 130, I think, or more. That is not an accident. There is something here which has protected this place. And when I walk into here, I feel protected. And that is the best thing I can tell you about this place, this campus, this room. Is, and I told you when we started, this is where I wanted to come. I want to come to this room again because of the way I felt last time. So there is something here, absolutely something here. So I believe Myrtle felt it, was led here. It wasn't just a place that she liked. I think that she sensed it, and I think she channeled it personally.
I also think that it is being amplified. We spoke about the nodes and the nulls of the planet and how it is cleaning the grids. One of the effects of that, and Crine talked about this all in 2013, was the year of recalibration. And there were many channels given during that year that spoke about everything being recalibrated. One of those things was the light-dark ratio quotient on the planet, and that there is more light than dark. But it's exponential. And the amplification, everything that took place in this place for 100 years, the amplification is beyond what you think in linearity.
I just mentioned that to our host Heather. I think it was, who works in Silent Unity. Can you imagine the cascading effect of helping people like they have for 100 years, and who that touches, and what has happened because someone got healed, or someone got something, didn't commit suicide, for instance, and that's one of the biggies. Can you imagine what that then allowed them to do, and allowed somebody else to do, and allowed somebody else to do? It may be in the millions. This place may have affected the planet, and you just wouldn't even know it from the benevolence of just praying.